Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Monday, October 3rd. I'm your host, Eric Steven, and the end of the regular season is upon us, close enough here in the next few days. Over the weekend, the Dodgers, as expected, they wrapped up the best record in baseball. They did it pretty quickly, actually on Friday night. The clincher came first with the Astros losing on Friday, then they played the earlier game. The Dodgers also won on Friday, which would have also done the trick. But that ensures, which we all sort of knew was going to happen, given the time left on the schedule and the small amount they needed to do, that the Dodgers will have home field advantage for as long as they're active in the playoffs. That includes the World Series. So their home dates are locked in terms of potential games they can play at Dodger Stadium. That makes basically their entire six-game series against the Rockies basically an academic exercise. Nothing is going to change in the standings. It's just more about keeping the regulars active, getting everyone their reps in, but also trying to keep not get anyone hurt and keep everyone as healthy as possible. The Dodgers were cautious with Justin Turner the last week. He had a, I love the term shinburger. That's what Tim Neverett called it. They sat Turner out for four games. He was originally in the lineup on Saturday, and then they decided to give him an extra day. He came back Sunday, and then Chris Taylor is dealing with neck stiffness. He missed Saturday and Sunday. That'll be something to watch. But yeah, that, you know, they're basically being a little bit careful. Probably give some guys some days off the next few days. Mookie Betts sat on Sunday, for instance. The Dodgers did win two out of three, the first three over the Rockies, and four out of six over the last week. The offense, though, was kind of just ordinary. They did have a 10-run outburst on Friday against the Rockies, but other than that, they scored zero or one run against five of the six starters they faced last week. Now, that includes Sean Manaea, who was the bolt guy following an opener on Thursday in San Diego. They also, but then they scored six off Kyle Freeland on Friday. That was their only real time sort of getting to a starter in the last week. They also nearly lost on Saturday, but then Rockies bullpen gave it away. The Dodgers walked six times in the seventh inning to tie the game and then rallied to win in the eighth. It was quite a gift from the Colorado bullpen, but the Dodgers will take it. Again, though, it's really hard to nitpick a team that already has 110 wins, which is a franchise record, and there's still three games left to play. That 110 wins is already tied for second most in National League history. There's the 1906 Cubs, famously won 116 games, and then the 1909 Pirates with Hannes Wagner, they won 110. That's where the Dodgers are at now. If they win one more game, they tie the Cleveland from 1954 for the fourth most wins in MLB history. The only other teams ahead of them at that point would be those Cubs from 1906, the 2001 Mariners, who also won 116, and then, of course, the 1998 Yankees with 114 wins. So they're in pretty heady territory already. It was just, I think, you know... we've talked a lot. It's hard to sort of process that many wins. It doesn't seem real and or possible. But then again, they're basically winning it more than a two-thirds clip for, you know, 4 years running. So, you know, maybe it's not that out of the ordinary. I don't know. It's pretty there's a chance we could have five 100-win teams this season, which would be a first in Major League history. So the league is pretty, like, stratified at that point. Like, there's extremes on both ends, so maybe that's contributing to it. But still, 110 wins is 110 wins, and they're doing really well. We'll talk a little bit more about what is left over these final three games against the Rockies, plus a potential National League Division Series matchup for the Dodgers is becoming clearer. We'll talk a little bit more about the details of that after the break. The Dodgers do have a bye into the National League Division Series, so as the number one seed, they'll play the winner of the 4-5 wild card series. So those seeds aren't locked in yet, but it's really close. Things became clearer over the weekend when the Braves at home swept Atlanta, swept the Mets in Atlanta over the weekend. Dansby Swanson and Matt Olson hit home runs in all three games. They beat DeGrom and Scherzer the first two nights. They beat Chris Bassett on Sunday. So the Braves lead the Mets by two games with three games to play, and by sweeping the series, they own the tiebreaker by winning the season series over the Mets. So the Braves' magic number to clinch the division and the number two seed is just one. That pretty much locks in the Mets as the number four seed. Like, again, the Mets need six out of six things to go their way these last 3 days of the season to win the division, so that's probably not going to happen. So if the Mets are the four seed, they play the five seed in the wild card round, so they get all three games in New York, or potentially all three games in New York. The Padres clinched a playoff berth Sunday when the Brewers lost, so San Diego's either going to be the five or the six. Now it's up to the Phillies to sort of decide that other spot. The Padres are up one on the Phillies. The Padres have 87 wins. The Phillies have 86. But the Phillies own the tiebreaker. So the Padres' magic number for the number five seed is three. So they need three out of six things to go their way to get the five seed. The Phillies' magic number to eliminate the Brewers, who are the last team looking in right now, is one. So Phillies are almost certainly going to be in as well. It's just a matter of, are they the five or the six? The Phillies need four out of six outcomes to go their way to get the four seed. The Phillies play at Houston. The Padres are home to the Giants. So, I mean, it's looking likely. It's not, you know, again, not set in stone, but it looks like Mets-Padres is going to be the 4-5, which is it's a pretty good series. Like, and that's, you know, that's a tough, that's a tough opponent for the Dodgers as the one seed compared to like a Cardinals-Phillies series going to the number two seed. But I will say this, you know, the Mets' big sort of calling card obviously is having DeGrom and Scherzer going in a short series. But the advantage of not having to play the wild card round is that if the Mets are the wild card team, and advance, like, they would only be able to pitch DeGrom and Scherzer once each in the NLDS and not till games like 2 and 3. So the Dodgers are in a good spot in that regard if it does end up being a Dodgers Mets NLDS. And then again, that's just the advantage built in by, you know, clinching that bye, getting to set your pitching rotation, having a rested bullpen, all that sort of stuff. Also, the Mets, the Dodgers, you know, have a much better offense than the Mets. Now, the Dodgers did lose 4 of 7 games to the Mets. So, again, it's the playoffs. Anything could happen. But if you're going to play the Mets, playing them after a wild card series that you didn't have to play is probably the best case scenario in that regard. But, again, it'll all shake out over the next week. And we'll talk more about, you know, the actual matchup when it becomes clearer. But that's what it's looking like as of now. These last three games, there's a few sort of personal statistical things to sort of shoot for, I guess, on the Dodgers. Julio Urias has the inside track on the ERA title. He already leads the National League at 212. I mean, so he's in excellent shape. He has one more start on Tuesday. Second place is Sandy Alcantara, who is at 228. The Marlins said over the weekend that Alcantara wouldn't start in Wednesday series finale, so his season is over. So that gives Urias a clear number to shoot for. So looking ahead on to Tuesday, Urias can actually allow between 0 and 3 earned runs and not record an out and still lead the National League in ERA. So he's set there. If he does allow 4 earned runs, he needs to pitch at least 3 2/3 innings. If somehow he's left in to give up 5 earned runs, he would need to pitch 7 2/3. I doubt that would even happen, especially considering that Andrew Heaney is going to back him up on Tuesday. So Not sure if it's going to be a completely abbreviated outing for Urias, but I would imagine six innings tops at that point, and you know, maybe even five with Heaney sort of playing the bulk role. You know, as to what his potential October role might be, or you know, maybe it's only a three inning thing for him. We'll see. But so that's for Urias. Freddie Freeman. His lead in batting average in the National League is getting closer. He's at 327 entering Monday. Jeff McNeil had three hits Sunday night. He's at 326. Freeman also leads the National League in on-base percentage, hits, and doubles. He needs two RBIs for 100 and four hits for 200. Trey Turner is more of a long shot now to reach 200. He's at 191 hits with three games to play, so obviously needs nine more hits in those three games. Probably not going to happen, but hey, if it does, good for him. Turner is also three RBI shy of 100, which he's never done. Turner has 39 doubles on the season. If he hits one more, he'll join Freeman, who has 46 doubles, and Mookie Betts, who has 40, to give the Dodgers three players with 40 doubles for the first time ever. Mookie Betts, to get to 40, hit five doubles in the last week. He and Freeman are also tied atop the National League with 116 runs scored. That's something to watch over the last, you know, three games. Turner scored his 100th run on Saturday. It's the first time the Dodgers have had three players score 100 runs in the same season since 1962. That was Maury Wills, Willie Davis, and Tommy Davis. So those are some sort of statty things to look look at for the next 3 days. the Dodgers on Sunday used Andre Jackson to reset the bullpen. They put Michael Grove on the injured list Sunday after he took a sort of a hot shot up the middle off of his left knee. So he has a left knee contusion. Placed on the IL, so his regular season's over. And they brought up Jackson to pitch the final four innings on Sunday, so they didn't have to use any relievers. So, you know, Jackson had a pretty good, like, end to his season. He was scuffling a lot earlier in the year. He had more walks than strikeouts for a good portion of the season. His ERA was in the fives in AAA until, you know, heading into September. He started September with Oklahoma City with a four-inning save. And then he's pitched four times in the major since, and he's done really well. So, yeah, like, it was a good, like, sort of end to his season, you know, after a rough year. But would imagine, given what he did Sunday, the Dodgers need to make a roster move to activate Tony Gonsolin, who's going to get activated off the injured list to start on Monday. So Jackson is probably the guy to go there. Gonsolin is expected to pitch around three innings. You know, he hasn't pitched for the Dodgers in about 6 weeks. He's been out with a forearm strain. There's still time for one more sort of stretching out simulated game between this start and games three or four of the NLDS, depending on which one he's pitching in. But we're looking at likely, you know, in the playoffs at least to start a four-inning starter, maybe five if all goes well. So, yeah, like, it's just going to be interesting to see what he has first, and that's going to happen on Monday. Gonsolin last week pitched a rehab game with Oklahoma City going two innings, so we're still in more than a week away from the Dodgers' first playoff game, so it's all about sort of setting up toward that. The Dodgers do need one more win to clinch their best record against the NL West in one season. They are currently at 53-20. They need to get to 54. The current best divisional record is by the 1974 team, who won 70% of their games that year against the NL West. So the Dodgers only need one win in the last three games. Plus, that would climb them up the aforementioned leaderboard. But yeah, I think Dustin May can't be activated, but he's been, I guess, throwing bullpens and looking pretty good. So I think they're pretty high on him being ready for the NLDS, but again, that's a week away. And then Blake Treinen, I believe, has a bullpen session, which is fairly important for him on Monday. So we'll see how that goes. He'll be something to watch, but he's maybe on the less likely side in terms of being ready, but we'll see how it goes. You never know. But yeah, pitching rounding into form. I'm sure we'll talk about that this week as things become more clear. But yeah, 3 games left in the regular season. The 6-game series against the Rockies that seemingly endless. Still here, halfway done. 3 more games, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.